session number 9753, reel 3.
Mr. Morris Greenwood, Reel 3. Did you get any training as infantry while you were at Bulford?
No.
You know, rifle?
No, no. We just had our rifles given to us and ammunition, and that was it.
You weren't trained how to shoot them?
We went to a shooting range on our way to Avonmouth, and we let off 5 shots. That was a container of 5 shots at a target. That were all shooting range we had.
What about drill, infantry drill? Did you practice that?
Well, we didn't have any infantry drill. We were just told to congregate together in formation and stand up straight for attention from the officer.
So it wasn't sophisticated?
No.
How long were you at Bulford training?
Oh, only a few days at Bulford.
So you were just really drivers and they weren't going to bother training you as soldiers?
No,
at all?
No.
How long? What month was it when you were sent out? What month was it when you were sent out to France?
I think it was September.
Can you tell me about... Did you get a chance to get a leave to go home?
No.
So can you tell me...
They didn't give leave.
Can you tell me about how you got sent out then? Did you go out as a company?
We went out all together.
So the 74th Company?
Yes.
All went together?
Yes.
And did you take your vehicles with you?
Yes.
And what vehicle had you been assigned to? I think you said...
Daimler.
Can you tell me about it, about the lorry? Describe it to us.
A Daimler.
Yeah.
About driving a Daimler.
The Daimler lorry you had, what did it look like? What could it do?
It were good looking, like, with a vehicle. But it had what they call a sleeve valve engine. And if you start talking about sleeve valve engines to lots of folks, they don't know what you're talking about. Because it's no valves. It's like the deux-temps, what we call two-stroke. You see, action. It slides round, opens and closes, an opening. And they're bad at starting because they get thick oil in. You can hardly turn the engine in cold weather. That's the drawback to them. And it does have a handle on the engine that will take 2 people.
It took 2 people to start?
Yeah.
How would you start? You'd use a starting handle on the front?
Yes. There are no self-starters.
What advantage did this type of engine have, or what disadvantages?
Didn't have any.
So it only had this...
That's what they used on London buses, weren't it? At the time.
What was the cab like?
Austro Daimler. Eh?
Cab?
Well, there were no windscreen. It was just open. There were no windscreen or anything like that.
What were the seats like?
Seats? Oh, seats were just a piece of a leather covered stuff.
Were they comfortable for long journeys?
No, you could make them comfortable if you wanted with a blanket, if you could get a blanket to sit on.
Can you explain on what exact instruments you had to help you drive? The steering wheel, but what else was there in there?
Well, there was just oil pressure gauge and the speedometer. That's all there was. And and you operated the throttle with your foot.
What were the brake arrangements?
Oh, the brakes were just standard back wheel brakes.
Back wheel?
Mm.
That was a lever, was it?
Mm.
What about headlights? Did you have headlights?
No, I don't remember headlights.
So it'd be difficult at night?
I wouldn't think they'd have headlights. They'd show them up in the dark.
How big was the... How much could you carry in one of these?
Oh, I think in Daimlers we could carry roughly about 2 ton.
Was the back covered?
Fully laden then.
Was the back covered?
Back?
The back, the where you put it.
No, it had just sides and a tailboard. That's all it had.
Wooden sides would they be on?
Just wooden sides. Came up about 2 foot. That's all.
Was the Daimler a reliable machine?
It was in a way, but we used to think they were soft-hearted. They hadn't the guts to get out of us if you got off the road and into soft stuff. They hadn't the guts to get out.
Not powerful enough.
No, they weren't like the Leylands.
Were they solid tyres?
We'd have to get a Leyland to pull us out.
They were solid tyred, were they?
Or solid tyres. Yeah, solid tyres. They used to slip off probably on a bend.
Were they an uncomfortable ride?
Oh, well, they weren't right cushy or anything like that. No.
How fast would they go?
How fast? Oh, I should think 30 might be, 35 might just be about top speed.
Would that be with 2 tons aboard?
Yeah.
You could still go around about 30,
35. Yeah, if conditions are suitable.
What were they like in bad weather?
Well, in bad weather, of course, snow and ice. We used to stay up all night, one of us, to keep the engine going so that the radiator wouldn't freeze up, because with no glycerine or anything like that. And if the radiator froze up, they were tubed, copper tubed radiators, we had to nip them up with the pliers. Hmm.
When we talk about them being reliable, would they need a lot of spare parts or to keep them running? Would you have to be constantly tinkering with them, or would they just, would they just run?
I don't think they'd need any spare parts, unless you'd broken part of the chassis or something, or the springs had come.
So the engine was reliable in that sense?
The engine seemed to be all right, but as I said, Daimler's hadn't the guts to get out of us soft at all.
Now, was everybody that went to France, were they all in Daimler's, or did you have some Leylands?
Oh, in Leylands and Daimler's and Walhallis and Gommers.
Can you?
With all sorts of vehicles, even chain driver wagons.
What were the Leylands like then, if you could run through
the Leylands, what they call the subsidy Leyland, was made specially for the war. Somewhere in Lancashire they were made.
Had you got these in 1914 though?
Well, they started coming in 1914, but it took them a heck of a while to get anything I wanted in Great Britain.
So, no, I'm thinking about, what did you take out with you when you went in September?
A Daimler.
And had any of the subsidy Leylands arrived then?
Yes, some of them. RAF took preference for Leylands.
Royal Flying Corps?
Yeah.
So, what were the advantages of the Leyland over the Daimler?
Well, they're more sturdy and more reliable and more... You could carry greater weights.
How much would the Leyland carry?
Oh, I should think up to about 3 tons or 3.5.
So that's
and
a ton.
And pull a trailer.
A ton and a ton and a half more.
And pull a trailer.
as well?
Well, he had to do.
Would the Daimler have?
He was told to do.
Would the Daimler pull trailers?
No, I don't think it was designed for the job.
The Leyland, was the cab pretty well the same as the Daimler's cab, or was it different?
If anybody wanted preference of a wagon and they were a motor driver, he would like a Leyland. Or a Halley. Or even a Comer. They scraped all wagons up in England to send them to France.
What was the Leyland's cabin like? Was it? Did that have any advantages?
No, it was just open, fair.
So it was pretty well the same as the Thingabob's cabin?
If a bullet came, it'd come straight at you.
What about the Halley? What was that like?
Oh, the Halley was a commandeered vehicle, wasn't it?
What was that? What characteristics did that have that made
it? Well,
it
had chain drive, which you could rely on.
What's chain drive?
Chain drive to the back wheels.
Why was that more reliable, if you could explain?
Well, it was stronger. And it was more reliable in a way that you knew where your transmission was and you could oil it and see if it were kept in proper order.
Now, the Leyland and the Daimler didn't have this, though.
No.
So, with the Halley, was there anything else about it? How much would that carry?
Oh, some of the Harries would be in 4 to 5 tons at jobs.
That's even more than the Leyland?
Yeah.
Did that make them the best of them? Or
no.
No. If it carried more, why was it not quite as good?
The best we wanted was something they could pull on soft ground, like a cannon. That was what we wanted. We didn't want any fancy do's like we were provided with. But if we can get a good Halley or something like that and get a good start over off ground, it were better than anything that we had.
So you like the Halley, but you still prefer the Leyland?
What we still preferred were what we couldn't get, and that was a four-wheel drive Yankee wagon.
But that wouldn't be in 1914.
And that what we wanted.
But that wasn't in 1914, was it?
Well, it started coming year after, didn't it?
Right, we'll come to that then. Now, the third one you mentioned was the Comer.
Yes.
What characteristics
did
that have?
The Comer was the Comer that was used in England, on the main roads in England, only commandeered. They took everything they could lay their hands on.
How much would that carry?
They'd even... What?
The Comer, how much would that...
Oh, they'd carry 4 or 5 tons or something like that.
So the Comer and the Halley would carry 4 or 5 tons.
Yeah.
The Leyland, round about 4, 4.5, and the Comer and
yeah.
the Leyland.
We
the
had
Daimler
to rely
only
on the vehicle pulling something, as well as carrying something.
Right, so those were the vehicles you had when you went out
yes.
in September 1914. Yes. How were they loaded on? Which port did you go to?
Avonmouth.
And how did you load them up? Did you
have
any power?
We wound them up in the air and dropped them on the board.
Did you have to do that, or did the dockyarders do that for you?
Oh, the dockyarders used the cranes, providing they used them properly. And they were just dumped in the hold. On deck. We're a metal ship. You couldn't walk on it in bad weather, not with this.
About how many lorries did your company have, the 74th?
Oh, I should think we had about 16.
16 lorries?
Yeah.
And it was 2 men to the lorry?
Yes.
So how many men were there in the company altogether?
Well, there weren't any spare men. They're just a warden or an officer who checked the roads and the officer in charge. That were all we had.
How did you get on with these men?
Get on with them? Oh, we got on very well. If if we could get near a meat shop, we'd buy a bit of meat and fry it on a shovel.
That's when you're in France.
Yeah.
Now, I think you had a surprise when you saw your pay book. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I didn't know that we were entitled to 6 shillings a day. I thought about 2 shillings would have been about right. But I didn't raise any comments. I just took my pay book as it was given to me. And they wouldn't give it me unless they'd pass me. They'd turn me away, wouldn't they?
So did other people, the infantry, did they know that you drivers got paid a lot more than they did?
Yes.
And what did they think of that?
They didn't think it were fair. Because if they were on rest leave, we could go into a cafe if we could find one and buy them a few drinks. We could do that way, which I often did.
Did you feel a bit guilty then?
Haven't you any money? No, we haven't any money, we haven't had a payday. He said, well, I'll buy you a few drinks if you want some.
But, what happened when you got to France then?
Well, we just kept on the docks till we were released to go up the line.
Which docks were these? Rouen? Or
Rouen.
You went right up to Rouen?
Up to Rouen?
That's where you went? That's where
we
you landed?
We sailed up to Rouen. Up the... the Seine. Up the River Seine. Because they had a docking place at Rouen. And Rouen were headquarters for certain things. So I had to be to report there from the ship, which was nothing to do with us. We had to do as we were told.
He got off the ship into the dock area.
Yes, with the wagon.
And what happened then?
And sat in the wagon till we were ordered to a point for loading. And we loaded up with foodstuffs for the troops.
Now, I believe you'd been to Rouen before. You tried to get out. Can you tell me that story?
I tried to get out when I were in the army, because I said I'd been in Rouen before, but they wouldn't let me out of the gate from the docks. Red cap.
What did he say?
Eh?
What did he say?
Oh, he says you're not allowed to go from here anywhere. So you weren't a free man, were you? No.
So you loaded up with food and things. What sort of you said? Was it just food? What sort of stores were you carrying when you loaded up?
Oh, jam and cheese and meat and bread. Anything there were on docks.
Was it you that had to load you and your mate that had to load your lorry, or were you given a hand?
No. We had people who loaded up and told us what we had to have, you see. We couldn't make a choice, because we weren't used to the work. We were told what we had to take with us and get on your way out at road, up the line.
So where were you heading for?
Well, we were heading up towards Harris Road. Somewhere around there. Estes and Moorville and Hasbrook and St. Omer.
Now, you were then on... that was where you started your work.
Well, it weren't actually there. We had to meet someone who found us a place to go to dump the food, you see, because it hadn't come on railhead, it hadn't come on a train, it had come with us. and the food being with us, we had to put it in right quarter, so that the troops who came out of the line for a rest or a break could eat it themselves where they were. That's what we had to do. And when we got rid of it, we'd empty wagon. So we waited till the following day when we had instructions to go down to a railhead. Now then, where's nearest railhead? No one seemed to know, but we'll have to find out. And we'll have to go down to this railhead to draw food and stocks for the troops. Well, they'd only one blanket, you know. What you'd like you going to do with one blanket? And he'd not got down to one shirt. And you can't wash them in winter, can you? You can't dry them. Can you, eh? Never take your boots off for a couple of weeks. So they hadn't supplies of boots. They had to buy them from South Africa and those places. So they hadn't any British boots, troops that came out.
So you were looking for this railhead. How did they? Where was it when they eventually found it?
Oh, we had to get information from locals, people, residents and part of the army. Where do they keep the shells? Where do they keep their ammunition? Where's nearest train line from here? How far does train come up? Where does it stop? Has it to stop anywhere? And you'd all that problem. But of course it didn't bother wagon drivers. We had to take the orders from the officer.
So which railhead were you eventually assigned to?
Well, you could be assigned to one in Merville, or you may be assigned to one in Asbrook, or somewhere around St. Omer.
So these were the railheads you worked from. Which was the division you were attached to in the corps?
I think it was 7th Division.
And which corps? 4th?
4th Army Corps.
So you moved up and down the Western Front then on these various
roads? Oh, I did eventually, as a dispatch rider.
But while you were...
Because I left...
No, don't... While you were working as a driver, you'd be working from various railheads on the Western Front, were you?
Yes.
Were you mainly in the Arras area?
We were on the Arras Bapaume Road at Biagnes and Ervillers and Croisselles, and we had to go where we were sheltered.
Now, when you arrived sort of in the autumn. Had the retreat, August, the 1914
Mons.
Retreat
Mons.
From Mons, had that finished when you arrived?
Yes. So no, it was finishing.
Were you involved in that at all?
We're only involved in getting near places where Germans came, that were all.
So you don't know much about the retreat? It didn't affect you?
I only know the effects of what I heard from the troops. And that was where I get the information from.
What did they tell you?
They were old soldiers, mostly, that were driven back. They were soldiering in the Korea. And you got information from them.
So, can you tell me then what your typical... when you were working through late 1914, through into 15, and then through into 16, what your daily routine as a lorry driver would be? What time would you have to get up?
Well, you always were up. You're always a call on duty at the moment's notice. We used to sleep under the wagon sometimes. If we could get enough straw to keep us warm.
And what would a day's work be?
Well, a day's work would be going down to the rail head and loading up and delivering the goods to the horse transport and cooking stores.
Now, you say, so you'd go to the railhead, that'd be you and your mate.
Mate.
Were you always the driver?
No, we changed drivers.
Would you have to load up yourselves now that you were more experienced, at the railhead?
We had to have a man at the railhead who portioned out the foods. We couldn't go and portion them out. Must be giving them too much. We had to rely on his judgment, and he told us what we were taking. He might say, well, you might be carrying 20 bottles of rum today. Well, they were half gallon stone bottles of rum for winter use. They might have said something like that. Or they might have said, well, the bread train hasn't come yet, you may have to wait for that. That comes from Boulogne. And so on. And jam.
How would you carry these things? How was the bread packed?
I was at sacks. In sacks.
What about the jam and the cheese?
They were packed in boxes, tins. Tins of jam. McConaughey.
Now, he'd tell you what, this chap at the thing would tell you what you had to take.
Tell us what we were taking. He wouldn't tell me what to take. He'd tell me what had to take. You have to take 2 cases of those. I may have put 4 on.
So, would you then have to load them up, what he told you to take?
He'd go with the wagon and he'd go to the truck they were in. And he'd get them out of the truck and put them into our wagon.
So you didn't load the wagon?
Well, it weren't our job to load it. We had to do as we were told. You can't go and start arguing with somebody at the railhead.
But what I mean is, it wasn't your job to load the wagon then. You were just drivers.
We were drivers.
And you did nothing
else. We had to distribute the stuff. That was our job. We can't go into a storeroom and say, I'll have a dozen of them.
No, but we're talking about loading it, not choosing what went on.
No, they told us, they put it in the vehicle.
And you just watched them?
Well, we did look at them. We watched others as well. And when there were beef and things like that, we had to watch all that lot.
What were you watching for?
Well, I was watching that they put it on the wagon. Didn't want to go without it.
Was this because there was a fear of them pilfering it, stealing?
Well, I wouldn't say they were going to steal it. But if you didn't get it, what are you going to do when you get the cookery man up the line? What are you going to tell him? That's the problem. And say, well, they didn't find... Well, I don't want that tale here. Didn't find you any.
So you were responsible.
What are you talking about? Eh?
You were responsible for checking everything went on that you were supposed to have on. They told you what you had to have on.
Yeah, what about tin milk? Where's your tin milk? Where's your sugar?